relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
You're listening to America First with Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Donald J. Trump.
Hello, CPAC. Do you miss me yet? Do you miss me?
I think we have to add that to the sandbox. Hello, CPAC. Do you miss me? Do you miss me yet? Wow, it was a boffo performance. Where did I get that from? Of course I get it from one of your favorites, my favorites, Lord Conrad Black, presidential historian, a man who's done business with the 45th President of the United States, justice reform advocate, and a good friend of America First, Lord Black. Welcome back to America First.
Thanks very much, Sebastian. Always a pleasure to be with you.
I loved the line you opened. We're going to put this piece up on our Twitter and Facebook feeds. This is Trump's triumph at CPAC. And you said, for such a boffo performance, look it up if you're not familiar, that the president should get the Emmy that was given to the governor of New York. I'm thinking increasingly he has no need for Emmys and they won't help him anymore. Read the full article. But first things first, how would you grade it? What were the highlights? Any weak points? For me, the biggest thing about the speech, that he was in control. Do you concur?
Absolutely. Having not seen him at all, anybody having not seen him since he left Washington on the 20th of January. So, you know, what's it been, 5 weeks? I think the country generally appreciated the quieter atmosphere, the less contentious atmosphere. I would say that in somewhat in Biden's favor to a degree. But as soon as Trump was into that speech, you could see what a strong leader he is, how emphatic he is, what a talent he is. It was the greatest American political speech since, I would say, the 1984 election, the better speeches that Reagan gave in his reelection campaign. None of the intervening presidents have given a speech as good as that.
Wow.
He is a very talented orator. But to answer your question about the key points, I would say he hit hard on immigration. He fairly. There was no sensationalism. There was nothing anyone could say was xenophobic or racist or any of that nonsense. There was none of that. It was a straight, practical treatment of a terrible problem. We now have more than 100% increase in attempted illegal entries on the southern border this January over January of last year. And I thought he was very strong on the whole climate change nonsense, and including canceling the pipeline.
Well, he used the phrase lunatic left, which takes me back to Maggie Thatcher and the loony left phrase that was used in the UK. And I mean, rather reminiscent, and just calling a spade a spade.
Exactly. But to me, I thought he was very strong on China, strong on the Middle East. But the most important point that he had to make, in my opinion, was that there was a real question about the election. And I'm glad he didn't, again, get into that business of the popular vote, because there's no doubt Biden won the popular vote. But it's happened on six previous occasions in the United States where the candidate who led the popular vote didn't win the election. That happens in that system. It happens in the British system.
Right, the Electoral College. Right.
Yeah. But even in the British system, in 1951, Mr. Attlee got more votes than Mr. Churchill, but Churchill won. If you take some of the districts by a huge majority and lose some of the others, especially larger ones, by a small margin, you lose the popular vote, but you win the election. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how it works. But the point is, by making the point that there was a real question about the election result, without exaggerating, without claiming to have won the popular vote, he absolutely threw sand in the face of this totalitarian movement to try and strangle any question of the election result. And once you acknowledge that it was a question of election, there is no possible argument against President Trump for what he did on January the 6th. He was speaking to 300,000 or more of his followers who were aggrieved, as he was, as they all had every right to be, that they thought they were cheated in the election. He didn't say anything about vandalizing the Capitol or trespassing on it or certainly doing any violence to anyone. It was a meeting of the aggrieved because of a questionable election itself. And I think the great Democratic attempt to smear Trump as attempting to promote a criminal uprising has been a total failure. And that speech, although it's not referred to in the context I just mentioned precisely because it has had that effect, I think did achieve that. It can't be disputed. He's got a legitimate question about the election result, and in those circumstances, annoyance is justified, and he is not guilty of anything other than a statement of annoyance.
And how significant was, I believe it was very early on, I have to go back and watch it again, but at least the first third of the speech, at least not more than 20 minutes in, where he completely quashed the concept of a third party. How significant was that?
Very significant, and he did it early on. Now, I think he's right, that I think he did it in the first 10 minutes or so,
yes.
But I may be wrong. But I think he's right that was a fake news thing. I mean, they made that up.
But how important is it that he actually said that it's a bad idea?
Yeah, look, I must say, as you were kind enough to mention in the intro, I've known him a long time, and I remember him telling me in 2000 when he won two primaries for the Progressive Party, you know, with Ross Perot and Jesse Ventura, when he said, look, no third party can win. I mean, Theodore Roosevelt couldn't do it, and he was the most popular man in the country.
Right.
And if, you know, if TR can't do it, no one can do it. And so that was never a runner in his mind. I think some of his followers thought of it, but there's no need for it. He's got control of the Republican Party. If he wants to run again, they'll nominate him again.
Well, this is what
Sebastian, if I may, just wondering,
yes.
This little fairy tale set up by Mitch McConnell and Senator Cassidy and some of these others, Vice President Cheney's daughter, these people, the dreadful meteor of Trump has passed through. He's gone. Now we'll just go back to what we were before, the McCain-Romney-Bush Republican Party. That is bunk. It's not happening.
Well, this is exactly what I wanted to transition to. In the early part of your article, you say that Donald Trump has asserted authority over his party, and then you end the piece with a discussion of the Mitch McConnell, Peggy Noonan, Karl Rove dream of a return to a pre-Trump party. Why are you convinced that milquetoast, non-combative, go along to get along Republican Party is now a history, Lord Black?
Well, by the way, in fairness to Peggy Noonan, she's a Reaganite, and she measures everyone against Reagan. But I love her dearly. She's a fine person, but she has gone off the dock into the deep end in her dislike
over Trump. Yes.
Yeah, well, when she called him a tumor metastasizing in the Oval Office, I couldn't believe it. It was such an awful thing to say. I mean, you might say that about Hitler or Stalin, but not about any civilized, democratically elected person. I mean, you and I wouldn't say that about any Democrat that we dislike,
no.
For example. But what I was going to say is I think it's a dead pigeon because the people aren't there. The rank and file of the Republican Party know leadership when they see it. Many of them don't like the rough edges with Trump, but I thought that was another key point on Sunday's speech. He did not say one thing that was offensive or embarrassing. There was no manifestation of a churlish ego. There was no boastfulness. There was plenty of self-confidence. but no tasteful boorishness. I mean, for God's sake, a man who's made billions of dollars and has been elected president of the United States and is a great television star has some reason to be confident. Don't try and deny him that. I mean, what kind of a leader is it who has no ego at all? But the fact is, Trump didn't say one thing in questionable taste. He spoke for 90 minutes. He hit hard. He was on the facts. And I thought it was just a brilliant speech in conception, composition, and delivery.
We're talking to Lord Conrad Black, as we do every week. Follow him at Conrad M. Black. His increasingly relevant book, especially after Sunday's speech by the 45th president, in addition to remarkable works on FDR and Nixon, is A President Like No Other, Donald J. Trump and the Restoring of America. Additionally, we're posting his article right now at amgreatness.com. One of our favorite sites, American Greatness, is Trump's Triumph at CPAC. I'm going to do it again tonight. I recommend you do it as well. Watch the speech again, because truly, let's put it in its correct historic place as one of the greats, in control and a reassertion of his dominance over one of only two parties in the United States. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. We are back live streaming on YouTube, available on Rumble as well. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and I do believe the Parler account is up again. Wherever you get your news, you can find us there. This is America First.
I thought the speech was a dud myself. I mean, what Trump reminded me of was a boxer. Might be able to still land a couple punches, but there's no sting in the punch. You couldn't knock anybody down or knock anybody out with it. And it was not impressive to me. And remember, there were like 1,400 people in a ballroom. I mean, if this is not the crowd that's going to tear down the rafters, I don't know where they are. I've been saying now for a couple weeks to you, and I know John has heard, that I think he's fading. I really do.
It was a dud of a speech, and Donald Trump is fading. That was John Kasich on CNN. I was on radio this morning, and I was asked to comment on that. My only comment was, who's John Kasich? This is America First with me, Sebastian Gorka, former strategist to President Trump. We are back with Lord Conrad Black. Follow him right now at Conrad M. Black and get his book, A President Like No Other. More relevant than ever. Let me ask you, Lord Black, I predicted it. I don't usually do predictions, but I thought it is just too obvious to expect the president to toy with the left and the fake news industrial complex by mentioning the 2024 election. And he did it more than once. He said, there will be a Republican Black in the White House. Who could it be? Is it now, is it a fait accompli, given his reassertion of dominance, as you say, over the GOP, that he will be the nominee in 2024?
I would say not quite, because he is 74. He's obviously in very good health. But, he could feel tired 3 years from now. That's possible. But and you can't say fait accompli, because he could make a mistake. He could really squander some support if he were to make a mistake. But I would say that there is no doubt that that's what he intends to do. And there's no doubt that, barring either a deterioration in his health or a blunder by him, he can do it if he wants it. He appears to want it. I want to say two things. One, he actually said, in effect, he was running because he said there will be a Republican president back in the White House. Well, the only living Republican president apart from himself is George W. Bush, and he took two terms, so he's term limited. He can't come back.
Indeed.
And never mind that the voters wouldn't be too enthused about such a project. But and the other thing is, for John Kasich to say that is just the most outrageous thing I've heard this week. I mean, when he finally won the primary in his home state of Ohio and kept himself in there as the third candidate after Trump and Cruz towards the end of the nomination process in 2016, he gave the most awful victory speech
yes.
I think I've ever heard, telling everyone to take a woman in a red dress to dinner and hug a stranger in the mall, which would lead to a million assault cases in the state of Ohio. I mean, he was a good governor of Ohio, to be fair. But for him to say that Trump gave that brilliant speech that he did and doesn't pack a sting, I mean, John Kasich couldn't win a high school debate, although he was a good governor.
Yes, to call it a dud is really quite some alternate universe that he must be living in. Let me ask you the big picture. I think it's indisputable what you wrote at American Greatness, that it is Trump's party. He's reasserted authority. But there are voices that it's more than that, and it's not just a personality. Do you concur? Do you agree that it is the assertion of a new populism as the dominant strain, not just an individual, but there is a new guiding philosophy for the GOP, Lord Black?
I do, and I the way I formulate it is, I think there's an element of genius in it, and not just tactical maneuver, although there's nothing wrong. I mean, that's what you do in politics,
right.
and indeed in any competitive occupation. But what he's doing, and what he successfully did as president, is make the Republican Party attractive to a vast swath of the electorate, fiefdoms the Democrats had felt pretty well undisturbed in since Roosevelt's time. I mean, Eisenhower poached some of them, Nixon poached some, Reagan poached some, but generally speaking, the Democrats had the African American vote, the Hispanic American vote, the working class vote. Generally, they had all of that, and Trump invaded it. I mean, he didn't just nibble at it the way Eisenhower did, or scoop a bit of it the way Nixon did. It was a more full on assault from Reagan. And of course, all three of those men won huge election victories as president. But Trump absolutely stormed into those fiefdoms, and he did it by the application of traditional Republican capitalist principles.
Yes.
Low taxes, incentivization of job creation, and the maximum possible use of the tax system and economic macro management generally to induce job creation and economic growth. So he applied capitalist methods to attract the votes of traditionally welfare addicted groups. And it was genius, and it worked.
No, it did. I have one concern, and I see it moving forward as a conservative shaped by Reagan and by Thatcher. I see an Achilles heel on the right, in the institutional right here. There are many other things to do with social media, big tech and so forth, and protections against election fraud. But when it comes to the institutions of the right, I yet have to see, I don't see the filters by which more America First candidates will be selected. I don't see the organic connection between the America First agenda and the RNC. Do you think that can be solved in short order?
Well, I found the congressional results last year very encouraging that way. I mean, the Republicans said they had four women.
Yes,
take back districts in California. I
mean, correct.
Two were Asian women, and they picked up what 20 seats or something like that, which was completely unexpected. And my impression was they did it with a lot of very presentable, articulate MAGA candidates. I mean, people.
But do you think it was organic? Do you think it was conscious or more of an organic MAGA success?
Look, to be fair, I'd have to give it more analysis and no more in detail. I don't want to get out of my depth here, but my impression was that the party, I think they nominate in different districts by different methods. Sometimes
yes.
It's more or less of a directed thing. Sometimes it's a spontaneous choice of the Republican association in the district. But in general, by some combination of methods, they're percolated up to the top and into the nomination a new type of very attractive candidate, not humdrum people. I mean, I saw lots of them interviewed, like that lady from Russia who still speaks with a bit of stars or whatever her name is.
Yes.
And she was a very impressive candidate with a remarkable personal history.
And if you missed that, she was one of the stars, the unheralded stars of the outrageous House impeachment charade, and her calling out that show trial for what it was. We're going to get her on America First. But in the meantime, you have to read Trump's triumph at CPAC on our Twitter and Facebook feeds right now. Follow this man, Lord Conrad Black, at Conrad M. Black. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. This year marks 20 years since America's darkest day, September the 11th, 2001. And the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been supporting America's frontline heroes ever since. When a first responder or military service member doesn't come home and young children are left behind, Tunnel to Towers pays off their mortgage to lift the financial burden and bring their family stability. For catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, Tunnel to Towers builds mortgage-free smart homes, enabling our most severely injured heroes to live more independent lives. Our nation's heroes, people who are willing to die for you and me, need your help. Join Tunnel to Towers on their mission to do good and help these heroes. Donate $11 a month at T2T.org. That's the letter T, the number 2, and the letter T.org. That's T2T.org. Thank you.
Hi, this is President Trump, and Sebastian is really a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's been with me from the beginning. Listen to him. We all learn.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you kindly. And thank you to all of you who've already donated to Food for the Poor. This is the organization that helps those most in need, especially in our hemisphere. Yes, we're going through COVID. Yes, we're trying to recover. But children anywhere should be helped if they're suffering. And they are suffering in Honduras. 9 million people facing critical shortages of food, not just because of COVID, but because of two natural disasters that have blighted that country. Please help them today. It's just so easy to make a difference. Why? Because Food for the Poor gets donations, lots of donations. So what they need support for is to get the food to the hungry mouths, to the children in the region. If you donate $37 today, you're going to feed a little girl or a little boy for 6 months. $111 feeds three children for 6 months. Can you spare $111? Do you want to save a life or several children today? Please go to my website. Please go to my website today. SebGorka.com. That's SebGorka, SebGorka.com. Click on the Give Food, Give Hope banner. Or you can call them directly at the following number, 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. Please help today. SebGorka.com. Okay. We have 28 cuts. I think it's longer. I've never had three sheets of cuts here, but I guess that's what happens when you have a CPAC and stuff you can't get to the day before, because I didn't. But one thing that's disturbing is, like, still so weird, President Biden visited Texas yesterday. I showed you video when I was on Newsmax of his incapacity to read a teleprompter, his inability to put a pen back in his pocket, and his need to pull out a cheat sheet to remember that 500,000 Americans had died from the coronavirus. Well, he's done it again. This is what happened yesterday when he arrived in Texas. Video cut 22. Play cut.
And representatives Shirley Jackson Lee, Al Green, Sylvia Garcia, Lizzie Pinelli, Pinnell, and what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here. And
what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Jeff, why did you include that cut? How did that hit you when you saw that video of President Biden?
Well, you know what I think of Biden, but honestly, watching it, I felt bad for him a little bit there.
Mr. G?
I did.
What? Okay, when's your review? When's your staff review up? Is it soon?
He was a little confused. I felt bad.
Okay. I find it very hard to feel sorry for a man as corrupt as him. But look, I'll let you guys be the judge. Let's play that again. Yesterday, this isn't old footage. It hasn't been on. Think of this. He hasn't been on the campaign trail. Did he go on the campaign trail? He barely did that. He's been sitting in the White House. He hasn't done a press conference for 6 weeks. And he goes to Texas, and on a live mic, this is what he says. Play it again. Video cut 22, play cut.
And representatives Shirley Jackson Lee, Al Green, Sylvia Garcia, Lizzie Pinelli, Pinnell, and what am I doing here? I'm going to lose track here. And
if you're having problems, do you actually say it out loud? You're giving a speech. You're at a podium. I don't think I've ever done that. I've given thousands of speeches. I'd be really interested to see if anybody could dig up video footage from anything I've done, where I said, on a live mic, what am I doing here? Very strange. Is that why 31 Democrats signed a letter to remove the exclusive nuclear launch code authority from their Democrat president, Joe Biden? Yes, 31 of them, who said he doesn't get to go to nuclear war unless Nancy Pelosi or Kamala Harris concur. Those aren't Republicans. Those are all Democrats. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, 100% drug-free pain relief that actually works. Tens of thousands of Americans are being liberated from their daily pain because of this remarkable product from the father and son team of Pete and Seth Talbot. Just listen to Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain, I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I am a believer, 100%. You deserve, don't you? Don't you deserve to find out if you could be the next Leah? I believe you do. I think you do too. Find out today. It's so very simple. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Do it today. relieffactor.com.
I want to thank my great friends, Matt and Mercedes Schlapp. Matt, thank you. Thank you. Mercedes, thank you very much. And the American Conservative Union for hosting this extraordinary event. They're talking about it all over the world, Matt. I know you don't like that, but that's okay.
They are talking all over the world about that event, thanks to Matt Schlapp. I had to get up at 6 a.m. to do a hit in the UK after the president's speech. I know it's not early for most people. For me, it is. I'm not a morning person. Let's talk to the man who made it all possible. It says on his bio here on Twitter, he's a dad to five angels. I don't know if that makes him an archangel. He is the chair of the American Conservative Union. He makes it all possible. Matt Schlapp, welcome back to America First.
Sebastian Gorka, great to be with you, and I can't think of a better person to talk about uncanceling America and uncanceling Donald Trump with than you.
I loved the name. I forgot to mention it. Every year you have a theme, and this year it was uncanceling America. Perfect, perfect title. First things first, let's talk about the president was late, or there was just too much stuff going on, and before he spoke, you played a video of CPAC, the international brand, and it was incredible. Just not just everywhere you're going from Brazil to Ireland and everywhere else, but the fact that in Hong Kong, you're you know, walking on the street and you get accosted by people who thank you for being here and for organizing a CPAC in occupied territory, if you will. Did you ever expect that the Conservative Political Action Conference would get to be an international brand like you have created?
No, and I don't know. I don't know if we deserve credit for that, or it just kind of happened, or it was God's plan. I give Dan Schneider a lot of credit, Gordon Chang on our board a lot of credit. But, you know, for instance, in Hong Kong, we were the first Western group that the protesters reached out to. That protest movement is very careful. And, you know, they didn't want to just be branded as an American thing, because that would harm their cause. But they did ask us to come, and we had dinner in Jimmy Lai's house, you know, poor Jimmy Lai, who's now in prison and won't leave Hong Kong on principle because it's his people. And I pray for Jimmy all the time. He's a converted Catholic, and he's a brave, rich man where they're going to probably take away everything he's got. And, you know, I wouldn't have thought that way. And when we went to his house for dinner, you know, they firebombed it that night. And that was kind of the beginning of the ratcheting up on pressure on him. And when we're in Hong Kong, we're thinking, how sad for these people. So glad we're Americans. I'm looking at America and I wonder, how much time do we have left?
Yeah.
Before we don't have any freedoms left. It's a very, very, very dangerous time. And that's what's going on around the world. You know, Sebastian, you know this more than anyone, since you've come here from a faraway land. Hungary. The fact is this: all freedom-loving people are rooting for America, because if America goes downhill, the world is screwed.
Yeah, there's nowhere else to run. Nobody else's embassy whose door you can knock on if we lose it here. And that's why CPAC and the ACU is so crucial. Follow him at M Schlapp right now on Twitter, S-C-H-L-A-P-P. I got to get it out of the way, Matt. Did you deliberately build your stage based upon, what are they saying, Nordic fascist symbols?
It's the most outrageous thing. I can't. No, absolutely not. I mean, the ambassador to Israel spoke from our stage. We had a Purim lunch that was standing room only. We had a Shabbat dinner that was standing room only. We had Jewish prayers every day. By the way, we had Catholic mass every day. We've added that to CPAC. We had Christian prayer services every day. You know, the fact that we would do, first of all, anything that was bigoted, racist, or anything else is outrageous and anti-Semitic, which I thought it was interesting. These people couldn't even use the term anti-Semitic, because with the left, there's so much anti-Semitism, they don't even use the term
right,
anymore.
Right, with Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar in Congress, you can't even use that phrase. But let me say this to you. As somebody who's been through the ringer in the White House, I think it is a sign of their desperation that they charged you with such an insane and inane accusation. Don't you think if that's all they've got, you're winning, Matt?
Well, I'll tell you, there was a prominent reporter from the Washington Post. He came up to me at CPAC and said he thought it was paranoid and outrageous, and a prominent reporter from USA Today. So I think for most journalists, they just thought, like, this is ridiculous. We go to this conference. We know what it's about. It's not a hateful, racist place. But you know, but amongst blue checkmark Twitter, I mean, this is the thing. And by the way, here's the, you know, people sometimes say, why do you get so worked up about these charges? Because racism and bigotry and intolerance and anti-Semitism and all these things are horrible, terrible, kind of the worst sins you can commit in my mind. And to be charged with that slur, I think we should all react very aggressively when we are. And this is what they do. This is all cancel culture. This
yes.
is what they do. They slur you in some manner in an attempt to make you alone, isolated, with no professional opportunities. It's almost like you're kicked out of society, and we're not going to let it happen.
And that's why you had the theme for this year's CPAC. He's Match Lap. Congratulations, by the way. I doff my cap. The way you dealt with Abilio Jim Acosta at CPAC was masterful. If you want to see how to deal with the fake news, watch that video as well as the president's speech. Last question to you, Matt. It's not just about Trump's reassertion of his dominance and authority over the Republican Party. Isn't what we're witnessing at CPAC, and I've been to everyone except this one in Florida for the last 5 years, it is the rise of a new populist Republican Party that truly represents all Americans.
Yeah, I mean, we've had this conversation. Is it conservative? Is it populist? Is it this? Is it that? I'd say this. It's conservatism, but it's American conservatism. So in that American conservatism, of course we're putting America first. Of course we want to do what's right for Americans. And I love the fact that people say there's something bad about populism. I mean, what's wrong with having the people like the policy? It implies that somehow they're bad. People like things that are good. I mean, it's just kind of an inane conversation. So I love the title, American Populism. I love the idea of putting America first. And look, we've already won on these arguments. I mean, the people are with us. Now we just got to win these damn elections and get rid of the cheating.
American populism. Why would it be bad for your policies to be popular? Matchlap doing what he always does, bringing his A game. God bless you. All the best to Mercy and the Five Angels. Keep doing what you do. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First on the Salem Radio Network, broadcasting across the nation to millions of listeners and viewers, also back on YouTube and Rumble. We are coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, 100%. Drug-free pain relief that actually works. Just listen to Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain, I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions, in 8 days, I found relief only to get better and better. That could be you. Leah is a believer in Relief Factor 100%. Find out today if it could work for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans by ordering the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com. Call them on 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. It'll be at your house in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose? Accept the pain. Don't you think you've waited long enough? I do. Do it today. 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com.
Portions of America First are brought to you by Food for the Poor.
If you've got a good producer, always listen to your producer's advice, especially when he says there's a cut you've got to play, and we're going to play it for you because he says it's going to cheer you up if you're worried. But first things first, I haven't even mentioned him in the last 2 hours. Shad. Mike Lindell. We got to support this guy. 25 companies are coming after him, boycotting him. Support him today. Send a message to the cancel culture fascists of the left. MyPillow.com. Mike is going to give you more than 60% off if you use my name. Order from him directly to prove to the left they can't destroy this great American, this great patriot. Over 100 products on his site, made all in America. Use my name. Buy something today to send a message to the crazy on the left. Call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Good news, number one. Greg Abbott is opening Texas. 100%. No more masks next Wednesday. He says it's going to be a free state again. God bless you. We need more Texases out there. We need more Floridas. But now let's talk about the swamp. Senator Elizabeth Warren, cut 12.
I don't want a strategy. I want us to get rid of the filibuster because it is too costly to America. The piece in front of us right now is the minimum wage. But the piece that's coming up is the Voting Rights Act. And the piece after that is immigration reform. And another piece is universal child care. The infrastructure package is very different if the Republicans get a veto at every turn through that process. So if we want to deliver on our promises, we got to be willing to get out there and fight for it. And that starts with getting rid of the filibuster.
So I have to ask, Mr. G, that's quite a long cut, but you said it's important for our listeners to hear. Why was it so? Why did she have to hold a press conference on the filibuster? And what does it mean to you, Mr. G?
Because it looks like they're not going to be able to stop the filibuster, and they're not going to get their wish list for their voters.
Bingo. She's worried, right?
Absolutely. That's why she's campaigning for it.
She is worried. Why is Liz Warren doing... That was her press conference. What is she doing holding press conferences on the filibuster if it is all going to be done away with? Because she's worried. Because all the things they want to drive home, all the amnesties, the minimum wages that will crush small businesses, they rely upon getting rid of the filibuster first. Somebody's worried. It's okay, guys. You see what I mean? We never give up. We never give in. Just 6 weeks in, and they're still worried. And that's a good thing. Because as the president said on Sunday, it's the lunatic left. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Stay with us, won't you?